the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Oh, to view the cross where Jesus died for me.
How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul.
Aren't you glad about it tonight? Sitting in the pawn shop. Nobody wanted us. Jesus come by. He said, I'll take that one. I'll take Rob. I'll take that one. I'll take Fred. I'll take Terry. I'll take Keith. I'll take Brad. I'll just take them all. Satan, they ain't no good to you. I'll just take them all. I'll make something out of every one of them. Are you glad he's made something out of you tonight? Give him a big hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord tonight. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary. Sing it to him. Glory.
Jesus God.
Praise the Lord. Let's give him another good hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be back in the house of the Lord? How many of you enjoyed service here over the weekend? We just had a good time, didn't we? Brother Terry, that was 5-star. If I ever heard 5-star, that was a 5-star message right there. And we certainly appreciate it. We certainly did. Certainly did. Brother Joe just blessed your heart too. And well, just God has given us such a diversity of gifts. And every one of them is different, but we love every one of them, don't we? Amen. Well, let's be seated for just a bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. A couple of folks from down in, actually got a call from down in Texas, prayer request for a Betty Ladner needing a kidney transplant. And she's on a list now, waiting list to be for a donor. So they're asking that we would really remember her prayer request tonight. Also, a brother Richard Nicholson. He attends Brother Brown's assembly in St. Augustine, Florida. I think they're saying that he has cancer, and they're asking that we would remember those folks in prayer tonight. So we certainly want to commit those needs unto the Lord. Want to pray for Ellie Parker. She is sick tonight. Also, Sister Alicia Babb, very sick tonight also. Need a touch from the Lord, both those folks. Brother Fred Perry says, I thank the Lord for healing me. I had a major headache for 5 days. Not only did he heal my headache, but he healed my shoulder, which I had been fighting with pain for 2 months. Keep me in your prayers still, because right now he's in a spiritual war. Praise the Lord, I'm still going to make it. I believe that, don't you? I believe we're all going to make it by the grace of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Janet Payne wants to thank the Lord for watching over her on Monday, for his protection from the angels of the Lord. Could have been a fatal car wreck. The car was flying, coming right at me, and ran the stop sign, but it was not my time, and I want to give praise to the Lord. So we thank the Lord for protecting Sister Janet. I want to pray for Sister Nancy Green in the intensive care unit with heart failure. Let's remember that tonight. I want to pray for Brother and Sister Baker, both not feeling well, so let's pray for those needs. Victoria Thomas called to request prayer for her and her children. Victoria is suffering from severe headaches, and her children, April and Matthew, are battling depression with anger issues. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Barbara Gravely called to request prayer for her and her husband, Brother Bert. They're both very sick, unable to be in the service tonight. They desire our prayer, so let's pray for those folks that the Lord would be mindful of them. Please remember the daughter of Carol Carpenter in prayer. Her name is Heather. She has recently been diagnosed with a brain tumor. She is a single parent and is 31 years old. The doctors are saying that she has anywhere from 2 to 16 months, but the family is believing God for a miracle in her life. She recently gave her heart to the Lord and is fully trusting in Him for her healing. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray that the Lord would be mindful of that. It's another request for Brother Bert and Sister Gravely, so let's remember them tonight. Lionel and Linda Lavoy, I hope I got that right. They streamed the services. I want to pray for Travis Lavoy from Madawaska, Maine. He is to have a full body scan on April the 4th as a result of a small mold that appeared on his arm and has come back after removal. The doctors just wanted to make sure that everything is all right. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Gene Lehman, had several teeth pulled, also has a virus. So let's remember that request tonight. Sister Rachel Estep says, I want to thank the church, the saints of God, for all the cards and calls. I am healed completely and cancer free. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I want to pray for Sister Janet Kennedy. She's having severe back pain, so let's pray for her tonight. The Lord will be mindful of her. Joanne Tessa sends us in to please pray for my daughter, Linda Jablonski. She has strep throat, so let's pray that the Lord will be mindful of that need tonight. Brother Jerry Glenn sends us in for our son-in-law. His mother passed away yesterday, and the funeral is on Saturday. So let's remember those folks as they go through this time. Please pray for a speedy recovery for Hannah Yance. She had extensive oral surgery, so let's pray for her tonight. Please pray for Brother Randy Babb. He's having a lot of pain after surgery for his broken leg. So let's remember him tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Josh and Kimberly Dixon and the children. Also Andrew and Anna's children. Brother Chuck, Sister Tammy Dixon all have the flu. So let's pray for those folks tonight. Bad cold, Brother Keith Strader.
also Keith Strader's dad having knee surgery, so they're asking that we would continue to remember that request tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, well, we've read enough needs tonight. I'm telling you, just a lot of them, but we know what? That don't mean nothing to the Lord. If that stack was three times that, it don't mean nothing to the Lord. He can take care of every need, big or small. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Isn't it good to be a Christian tonight? Do you love Him better than everything else in this world? Could we stand tonight? Brother Rob, would you come tonight if you would? Take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. We certainly appreciate Brother Rob Weber, don't we? Amen. Amen. Bless you, buddy. Bless you. Appreciate you, sir.
God bless you, Brother Lou. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you once again with thanksgiving in our hearts, asking for you to be present in this place, Lord, as we've come to meet together in your name, how we are taught, Lord, and how we are responsible for the things that we have heard behind this desk. We thank you for your grace to us, Lord. It's more than we deserve, but we're thankful for it, and we act upon it, Lord, according to your word. As David went out in battle and early in his, as he became king, as I was reading, he would ask, Lord, should I go up? Should I fight the battle? Should I go on? Will you be with me? And that's what we ask today for these prayer requests, Lord Jesus. We don't want to pray anything contrary to your will. If you're working things in these people's lives, I pray, Lord God, just have mercy upon your people for whatever capacity that they're ordained to receive. And I pray, Lord God, that you just be with us. Comfort us, and we desire your perfect will, not your permissive. We pray, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, for so many things. There were many prayer requests made here, Lord, opportunities for you to manifest your power in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, for the grace. Thank you for teaching us on Wednesday night about the book of Acts, Lord God, how it warms our hearts and gives us faith, Lord, to believe that we are no different than they are in that book. Lord, as we just continue to fulfill your word, thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for the young people in this church as we were able to spend time with them, as I'm blessed enough to be able to spend time with them. Thank you for their testimonies. Thank you for letting us be a part of each other's lives in grace as we come together, Lord, as the army of the living God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. Let me make this announcement. There will be a trustee meeting tonight after the service. Brother Wade wants everybody to know that, the trustees. There will be a meeting this evening after service. If you're a visitor with us tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. Those that will be streaming, we pray the service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song tonight. Everybody will be happy over there. I'm kind of happy right now, ain't you? Praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody, oh, will be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody.
kept us by His grace, and who brought us to that land.
Tonight, give Brother Joel, Sister Tamika, the family a nice hand as they get ready to sing as you're seated tonight.
place. We come to worship you with all our might. We exalt thee, O God, the Lord Most High, and we magnify you.
Together to be able to not just worship him like this, but something from within our souls. Amen. more than emotion, more than feeling, more than sensation. I love to feel it, don't you?
Yeah.
But I'm going to worship him whether I do or whether I don't.
Right.
I'm called, I'm ordained. Amen. God bless you. Certainly a privilege for us to be together tonight. Helicopter's fixing to fly out that door in just a few minutes, and we want to pull on the gift of God and just open our hearts. How many comes with needs in your heart tonight before the Lord? And we know the Lord is mindful. We'll just invite Brother Jewel to come out and just bless us with what the Lord's placed on his heart. We're so grateful that God has gifts in the earth today.
Amen.
That servants of God that can study and pray and be able to find the mind of the Lord for exactly what we have need of. God is so mindful of every one of you right here tonight. Not only of the visible audience, but the invisible audience. God knows all about their needs and their desires and what they have need of. So let's just pull tonight on the gift of God. I love hearing tapes. I listen to them almost every day of my life. Sometimes 7, 8, 9 hours a day. I get stuck on one. I'll listen to one 20, 25 times over and over and over and over and over. and over. And I always hear something different than what I heard the other time. But one thing that I've noticed about those tapes, they don't change. They're always the same. What changes is my hearing. They don't change. And I can't pull out of Brother Branham something I need off that tape because it's done been recorded in 62. I'm listening to The Greatest Battle Ever Fought. And it was saying the same thing you said 3/11/62 when it was recorded. But a gift of God that stands here tonight, you can pull exactly what you need. Don't have to be on His note. Don't have to be in no direction that He planned. But you can pull out of Him what you have need of. Aren't you grateful? You got needs? Desires? Let's pull on the gift of God. Amen. Let's sing together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Oh, I appreciate grace tonight. Let's sing it together. Amazing grace, how sweet. Oh, yes, Lord, that saved a wretch like you and me. Praise God. I was so lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Praise God, amazing grace. Praise the Lord. My wife would have had to sing a verse or two of a song. You know, I ain't got the one song so much. Right, you get on the other side, you'll know it'll be Brother Jules, and when you're here, won't it be a time? Praise God. You know, we thank God for His grace. And when the older you get, the more you start thinking about those things. I never thought about it too much when I was young, but when I started getting around, I turned 55. And the day, you know, I walked into a place and a lady looked at me. She said, "We're going to give you the seniors list." I'm trying to think, do I look that old? At least let me tell you I'm a senior. I mean, she just asked me, "I'm just going to give you the senior list." I said, "Man, I'm going to start. Man, the Lord's going to have to help us. Won't it be a time?" I mean, you know, you young people, you know, you got a lot to look forward to. The rapture that don't take place in the next few months here. But, you know, but when you start getting older like us older people, won't it be a time? That sounds pretty good to us. Hallelujah. And, you know, praise God, when we realize we start getting younger and then all of a sudden our body change back, we can get rid of all the being gay and all of the aches and pains. Won't it be a time then? Hallelujah. I said, won't it be a time? Oh, won't it be time? Oh, won't it be a time? Oh, talking with the angel. Won't it be a time? Let's talk one more time. Won't it be a time? young man over there. And I looked at him, shouted all over glory. And I said, young man, what is your name? He said, Brother Joy, when I was on earth, they called me Brother Homer Frazier. But I done made it over there. I said, won't it be say tonight, you open your Bible to 1 John 1. But I want to say tonight, by God's grace, I appreciate your prayers. I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me my blood pressure. He said, I don't understand it. He said, but your blood pressure looked good. Thank God for healing. He said, I'm going to take you off of one of these blood pressure pills. And I want you to come back in 6 months. So you got, he said, come back every 6 months. I'm saying, by God's grace, 6 months, I'm going off the next one. How did we go? I got a God. He's more than able to do it. How did people, we can't back up now in the devil. How did we got the devil as a church? Hallelujah. So we thank God. Appreciate you all here and everything you did and prayers and just being there for us. Appreciate Brother Dunny and the church here in the body of Christ, my wife traveling with us this evening. I just want to take a little simple thought. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, I said, just help me. Then just take something simple that we all can deal and look at. Something that we all got to deal with. Every day you look in the mirror, you got to deal with it. So I just say, let us take that. You say, oh, brother, what I'm dealing with. When I look in the mirror, I'm still dealing with me. And I'm trying to find out how to overcome me. Hallelujah, sir. I ain't got time to worry about you. I got to get that. I got to see it out. I got to make sure I'm ready when the rapture comes. It ain't about your neighbor. It ain't about your wife. It's about you and God that's out with you. Hallelujah. First John. Let me get my little Jack Cole mic fixed up. Praise God. Take this coat off. You can't work and fight with a coat on. So you're preaching, you're doing both. Amen, sir. I want to read a scripture from St. John 1. And I want to read verse 12. Then I'm going to read Romans 8th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 37. And it reads like this. For as many as received who? Him. I don't know what kind of revelation people are coming up with, but it says him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Let us go to Romans, the 8th chapter, for one verse out of that. Romans, the 8th chapter. And I want to read verse 37. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 37. And I like this little scripture right here because this is where we ought to be standing right now. Hallelujah. In other words, everybody where everybody is not going to be good enough to make the rapture. You better know that. You better have faith in revelation that God is able to keep what he said. He says here, nay, in all these things, we are not sometime. Sometime I'm a Christian. Sometime I'm overcoming. I hope I make it. Hallelujah. He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Or you could say, through him that loved you. You can put your name right there. The us is you he's talking about. Let us pray. Our gracious Father, Lord, I ask you one more time to help me to yield my body, my mind, and my spirit, and my soul to you, oh God. Father, I trust God to help me to get out of the way one more time. Help your people to get themselves out of the way. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I give you all my strength. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this evening. Thank the Lord for the reading of the Word of God this evening. Pray, Lord, we thank God that he been good to us. He's been everything that we have need of. Hallelujah. In other words, I told him, I said, you know, by God's grace, I told him, I was sitting there thinking the other day, I know my faith done grew a little bit. You said, how you know your faith grows some? I said, you want me to tell you how I know my faith grows? I drove all the way to Texas with Daniel Ball in a Ford and we made it. Amen. He can't get me on this one. But praise God. We thank the Lord this evening. I'm going to say, I want to let you know this evening by God's grace, hallelujah, God is able to keep what he said he's going to keep. Hallelujah. If I had a title I'm going to use this evening, I cut it short this evening because I didn't want to have a long title up there. You say my whole title was my message. Hallelujah. By the time I get to read my title, then we can go home. So I thought I'd better shorten it down. But I want to take a title here, God Power to Change Something Within Us. I'm going to think about this. God Power to Change Something Within Us. Now you say, Brother Joel, what I need to have change. I got a subtitle here, but I want you to think about that. God power to change something within us. Now I know one thing. Hey, the way I look now, I know that ain't gonna change. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry about me waking up until my body change. You don't have to wake up with me. I wake up and look in the mirror and say, I look like I'm 16. It ain't happening. You think that gonna happen, you better wake up and smell the coffee. Hallelujah. In that word. But one morning we talking about it in the resurrection morning, that's when we're gonna receive our change. Hallelujah. Right now, yeah, it ain't nothing right here physically. Hallelujah. I eat the same bread, I drink the same water, and I eat the same chicken. It still ain't nothing changing. I'm still getting aches and pains, so I need to go a little deeper than there. So God power to change something in her, within her. And I start thinking of her. I said, Lord, what do I need to be changed in my life? What do I need you to come and change in me? What do I need to change? And the Holy Spirit, I was studying this man. If they tell the people, God power to change your attitude. Hallelujah. That's what the problem is today. That's what the church is failing that day is on attitude. Hallelujah. They come to church with the wrong attitude. They go home with the wrong attitude and they looking for God to do something. It don't work that way. I'm reading a quote from the prophet himself. The message he using expectation was the message. He said, remember this and never forget it. That the right mental attitude toward any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude. Hallelujah. I come today with the right attitude this evening. I'm looking for a body change right now. Hallelujah. You got to have that kind of faith now. And that way I begin to look on these things right here. And I'll be thinking to think about here what it is today I'm dealing with. Where I go, everywhere I go, you deal with attitude. You come to church today, somewhere or another, you had to deal with attitude. Hallelujah. You said, Brother Joel, when will I quit having an attitude? When I quit dealing with an attitude, or you're going to die or rapture. But longer here, we're going to always have to deal with this. But the revelation of it is, Lord, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. We got to have faith and have the right attitude to walk out on God's word that God's going to say, do what he says. I looked the definition up for attitude, and it means a way of thinking or behaving that people regard as unfriendly. Shouldn't be said. If you go into church and you got the Holy Ghost, we should have the most friendliest attitude out of everybody. But sometimes I find that to be different. Hallelujah. In other words, people, you know, in other words, you say, I saw that person right there. Hallelujah. Sometimes we go in the restaurant and it be some of the nastiest attitude. People that call themselves messy believers. How do you talk to the waitress in a kind of way? How do you get upset in a kind of way? That's the wrong attitude. Hallelujah. Unfriendly and rude. Hallelujah. We deal with attitude. Then I said, now we want to take this thing back here for, we want to deal here. What did this bad attitude start from? What did attitude, where? Hey, we ordered the prophet God say, yeah, if you want to know something, go back to the seed chapter and Genesis will show you where your attitude come from. You either got an attitude that come from God or you got an attitude that come from below. So you got to choose this day what attitude you're going to take. Hallelujah, you can come to church tonight with an attitude. Hallelujah, I'm just here because I had to be here. Hallelujah, you got the wrong attitude. Hallelujah, you ought to come expecting God to do something. Hallelujah, you got that much sickness in the church. Well, I tell you what, I come with the right attitude. That the devil sickness, the devil a virus, the old demons had to lose this church. You got to have that kind of attitude. Hallelujah, begin to hear. So I begin to think about attitude, where it started from. And I begin to realize I went back in the book of Genesis. And I realized there was a man named Cain. Then look at the attitude he had. If he would have had the right attitude, Cain would have been saved today. I said, if Cain would have had the right attitude, we would have been walking glory together. Hallelujah, but we find here, you know the story was how that Eve told, said, I got a man from the Lord. Hallelujah, I got a man from the Lord. That word Eve would tell him, say, hey, you're going to be in the rapture in the way you was raised in the message. Hallelujah, I want to let you know, hey, Cain, you can do whatever you want to. Hallelujah, you're going to be there, boy. You come from God. So Cain had an attitude. It don't matter how I worship, God going to accept it. Hallelujah. So now here they go. You know, I used this here before. I said, Eve goes here and she put a baby on God that did not belong to God. So God took the spiritual DNA test. Hallelujah. I'm going to identify. I'm going to show the world that this is not my son. Hallelujah. I'm going to show the world his attitude is not from God. So they go to worship. We know the story is Cain goes there, get the fruit on the ground and all the vegetables and whatever he could offer to God. Most beautiful offering you could ever see. It had it really decorated. It really looked nice. He put a lot of labor in it. Hallelujah, to offer this thing to God. And God could not respect that because, in other words, it was not the right attitude. It was not the right revelation. He couldn't accept it. God couldn't accept it. I want you to notice this now. If Cain was the firstborn, he was going to need this blood. Here he was offering fruit without blood. Hallelujah. You know, he was going to offer fruit without blood. When Jesus offered fruit, he offered blood, then he became the first fruit of the resurrection. Here go Cain offer fruit without blood. Hallelujah, people. I don't care how long you've been going to church here. I don't care how good you've been. If you don't come under the blood of Almighty God, God can't accept it no way. And it wasn't Abel. He comes up to worship God. What Abel? He didn't go out there. He didn't do too much labor. He didn't do too much. All he did was grab a beast, took him by the throat, took a shot rock. Blood. God said, that's it, son. Hallelujah. That's what I seen in my mind before the foundation of the world. I saw a lamb slain and I saw blood here. Hallelujah. Abel, by revelation, your blood, your sacrifice is accepted. Now we got a problem here. Because Cain seen Abel getting accepted by God. Hallelujah. In other words, he seen Cain looking at Abel. Why God accepted him? He didn't work like I work. He didn't do what I done. I put this money. You don't understand how much I done. I paid so much money in this church right here. Why? That don't mean nothing to God. That don't mean no more than that little widow woman, that little lady put a mite in the offering. Hallelujah. It ain't what you put in. It's where your attitude is, where you put it in. So here he was. He getting an attitude because God accepted Abel. It's simple. All you got to do, God seen Cain was come. The Bible says he became wroth. In other words, anger. He became anger. He shouldn't. The revelation that Abel had, God accepted what he was. He wasn't angry with Abel. He was angry because God accepted Abel at revelation. So God said, let me have a talk with this boy. And God didn't send an angel. He came himself to talk to Abel. He said, man, you want to be saved. Hallelujah. I want to let you know if you want to be saved, Cain, I'm going to give you the ingredients. I'm going to give you what you need to do to be saved. I want you to repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. You watch Cain sing when you tell him that. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that kind of baptism right there. Don't you never say that to me again. My pastor said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I ain't going to do what Peter said. Peter had this problem, and Peter had that problem. Yeah, Peter had a problem, but he had the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to go with the man that got the keys tonight. Hallelujah. So he's going to go here. So, hey, that was Cain. He should have been happy. Abel here. So God goes to talk to him. Okay. So Cain, simple. All you got to do is go over there and get you one of them lambs. Bring it back over here and cut his throat. And when I see the blood, Cain, I'm going to accept you under the same revelation. Hallelujah. All you got to do is just like your brother do, Cain. Hallelujah. You'll be accepted too. Why Cain couldn't do it? Because Cain's attitude was a bad attitude. He didn't get that. I ain't changing my way of worship. I ain't going to change the way I dress. I don't care how brother Dunny preach. I'm still going to wear my splits. How you been? You say, oh, Brother Joe, in a way, I ain't been, Brother Dagger, preach all you want to. I'm still going to play the lottery. Did I say lottery? Oh, boy. If you win it, pay your tithes. Ever one brother told his church, if you win it, pay your tithes. No. If you got the Holy Ghost, you won't go down to a place like that, not. I'm not selling my birthright out to win money. Hallelujah. My God is able to supply all of my needs. But look at Cain here. Here was God that told him what to do. It didn't change nothing. He didn't change one bit. Matter of fact, he started getting angry. And when people get an attitude, start getting angry, you better watch it. Because the devil got you in his hand here. You get ready to do something to cause a problem in the church. How you going to try to split the church because you got a problem now? And your attitude is raising up. And out of why it become rude. It become uncontrollable. He could no longer control his attitude. And he looked at Abel. I'm tired of you. You done made me look bad in front of God. I didn't make you look bad in front of God. That's up to you. Hallelujah. I didn't come in to try to make you look bad in front of God. Hallelujah. Your revelation is what God's going to accept, not what you're doing. Hallelujah. You know what? If you ain't got the right revelation, your body can't obey your confession. Yeah. Hallelujah. So what did he do? Cain took a rock and slew his brother. Had to go through it. He said, I got rid of it. Now God got to accept me. Because even one of us worshiping. So God said, let me go down and talk to this boy. So God come down there and talk to Cain. Hey, he said, Cain. Remember, he had already told Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. But if you don't do well, sin going to lie at the door and your desire shall rule you. And here it was. Now God come to Cain, asking Cain, why are you your brother Cain? Cain turned around with an attitude. Hey, man, I know you ain't talking to me. Now he's talking to God. I know you ain't talking to me. Hey, man, leave me alone. Am I my brother keeper? Hallelujah. His attitude with God got God upset. He's a holy boy. Don't you talk to me like this. Hallelujah. Don't you talk to me like this, boy. I'm going to let you know right now. I hear the blood. I hear the voice of your brother. I hear the voice of your blood. The blood of your brother crying from the ground under me. Don't you talk to me like that. You devil. I'm going to put a mark on you. I'm going to put a mark on you. And I'm going to take the desire out of their heart. Or they catch you, they're going to kill you. And they're going to end the serpent seed race. Boy, you, in other words, it was his attitude. So now we begin to look here. You said, Brother Joel, Lord, help me to change my attitude. Because we're still in this flesh right here. And this flesh still got an attitude come down. You know, so we, you know, either we walk in the spirit by the attitude of God, or we walk in the flesh and got a bad attitude all down. So you say, brother, I've been raised in the message. Hallelujah. I've been anointed by the prophet. So was King Saul. So was King Saul. He was anointed by the prophet the same way. But he didn't do nothing with his attitude. Let me show you here. Here go King Saul, anointed by the prophet here. He anointed him with the, he took the oil and anointed him. Hallelujah. Then he took the vessel or the vial and anointed him with it. Hallelujah. In other words, so King Saul was anointed by the prophet Samuel. He said, in other words, God anointed him to kill that giant. God ever anointed you to put the devil under your feet. Hallelujah. You say, what form he is? I don't care what form he is. Hallelujah. He hit me with blood pressure. I said, I'm not signing for that devil. Hallelujah. I don't have to sign for blood pressure problem. I'm not signing for that devil. It's up to you what you want to do, but I'm not claiming him. I'm not talking about him, and I'm not reading about him. Hallelujah. God is able to do it. So he goes and says here, in other words, so he wouldn't even try. You know, that's an attitude. When people won't try, it's an attitude problem. Well, I ain't going to try to get saved. I know I can't do it no way. It ain't no me going here to get baptized. I go to church, I hear the word, but I don't think I can do it. Do you know why you can't do it? Because you got the wrong mental attitude. But Saul didn't even try to fight Goliath. He was the one anointed to fight him. But his attitude was, I ain't gonna be able to do it. Wowsy, wowsy, woo. I've been coming to church for years and I'm still in the same shape. You know why you're in the same shape? You can't control your big mouth. Hallelujah. What my problem ain't right here. So he goes in here. Then he goes down here. I'm going to show you how this attitude thing works. He goes down here to know Jesse's sons. Jesse said, all right, here my sons is. Amen. Samuel comes down here. He takes the horn. He said, all right, I'm walking down here. Look at the big strong. Man, I pressed 565 pounds. He said, this is him there. He's a hawk. God looked at him. God said, oh, no, not this one right here. Anyway, finally went all the way down through his seven sons. Amen. Samuel, now he know God couldn't lie. So something was wrong. He couldn't go get this hat and put it over there. Hallelujah. He couldn't go move that hat. It had to be in the vision. He said, when I come in this house, I saw eight sons in the vision. But I'm only have anointed seven. I only come to anoint, and there's seven. And he says, do you got one more? Yeah. I got one more. Come here, little orange. You. I got one more. Oh, I got one more. You don't believe. I don't need to run a little. Why you didn't get, come here, big boy. Come here. Why you didn't get the big one over here? What you mean, do I got one more? That one right there? No. God bless. Hallelujah. Why would you know what man said no to? Even the prophet himself questioned this thing right here. Hope God ain't made a mistake. You know, you know what? God had to rebuke the prophet. And I don't, what man, you just tell me everybody. Praise God. I'll tell you what, bro. My brother Carl said every time he come, he blow my mics. But anyway, you might get a new mic this weekend, this Wednesday. But anyway, here go David. Hallelujah. Even the prophet himself. God, are you sure? I don't think so. And the Lord rebuked him. Say, man choose by the eyes. Hallelujah, man, look out. Somebody say, I don't think that person gonna be a good Christian in the church. You better watch what you say. That might be the man that God is raising up. Hallelujah, that might be the man that God's gonna use. We look at him. Oh, God don't care how small you are. He don't care how tall you are. God looking for a man that'll stand behind the word. Here we go, here we find here. He goes to David. And he anoint David with his oil. Hallelujah. And he anoint David. You know the story how it go. Hallelujah. He anointed David because David himself, he had an attitude. I ain't going to let nothing stand in my way. I'm going to not let nothing get in my way. I'm going all the way with God. I'm not going to turn back. I'm not going to turn around. I'm going all the way until my body changed. How about you anointed David? We know the story. Goliath was sending out a bluff. Bluff. Bluffing. That's all we hear is bluffing now. All you hear every time you turn on the radio, every time you pick up a newspaper, every time you walk in a doctor, it's a bluff. A new disease come out. How do you get rid of that one? Have boo. How do another disease come out? You pick up the paper here and look, oh, diseases everywhere. But I want to let you know God is raising up some David. How do Goliath's got to come down? The word of God is here today. We are anointed by God. Oh, hallelujah. But when David seen this thing happening, David says here, who are that giant and they're talking this kind of junk? Running his mouth on us. Cussing the ermines of the living God. Saying the church ain't got no power. Hallelujah. Saying the only way we can have some power, we got to press the tape recorder. I'll tell you what, God has already done pressed the tape recorder. It just happened to be behind skin. Hallelujah. I'm going to press the tape recorder. A five-fold ministry to stir the devil up tonight. That the word is already. And every day David seeing these things. And David, when David come out to fight Goliath, you didn't have to push David up there. Wild. I don't want to try this. I ain't going to never get healed. Goliath done bluff you in the corner that bad. He done bluff you in the corner to the point that you ain't going to accept a lying devil. I'm going to never. They said it. Who said it? God didn't say it. God said, by my stripes, you are healed. Hallelujah. That same God that when you was out there in the drug house, that same God that reached down and pulled you out of the mud, that same God when you was out there running around in the world, he said, I'll be with you all the way and pull you out of the mud. That same God that delivered you from all these things, from cigarette, from other things, religious spirit, that same God is here tonight to deliver you from every disease. David looked there, he says, show me where you at. I know my God is real. I've seen God move. I've seen God kill a lion. I've seen God kill a bear. I know God could kill a lion and a bear. They rushed in on me at the same time, and I brought them down. That same God that you can do that. That same God that woke me up this morning. That same God that helped me to put my clothes on. That same God that gave me breath to praise Him this morning. I know my God lives. And the Bible said, David, he didn't do like most of you. I'm barely getting here. And brother, y'all just don't know what I've been through last week. Show me who ain't been through something last week. You tell me somebody ain't been through something. Hallelujah, I'm going to let you know. But when David come out, he come out. Hallelujah, he come out running. Oh, hallelujah. I will tell you what. Let us run. Let us run. Like the brother. I heard Brother Danny on there one day. He said, run. It's time to run. Hallelujah. And he had a testimony. Goliath, I'm going to kill you. He said, who are you talking to me? You? That's right. The day you're going to die, Goliath said, this is embarrassing. This is very embarrassing. If this guy beat me, right now, if he beat me, if a little guy like that beat me, I'll make sure I'm going to get my gun permit. Because this stuff like that don't happen in reality. But it happened that time. David said, I'm going to kill you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm not backing up on you, devil. I'm going to take you down, and I'm going to take your head off today. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm standing in the power of the Holy Ghost. Every sickness got to bow. Every demon got to bow. Buddha got to bow. Muhammad got to bow. Come to the message right here. When it comes to the message right here, every man got to bow. Hallelujah. He is the Lord, the King of Kings. Our prophet had to bow. Why? Because God, He's the lily of the valley. He's the brightest morning star. Every knee got to bow. Attitude. I don't know how I got on all this. That ain't even my notice. It's got to feeling good. Praise God. But David killed Goliath because he had the right attitude. I'm going to deal with some things. Sometimes God asks us to do things that we don't want to do. And the question is, why me, God? Because God wants you to do it. Hallelujah, God wants you to overcome this thing. Hallelujah, here he was. We know the story here. There was a man in the Bible in the second king called Naaman. Hallelujah, hallelujah, leprosy was in him. Good, hell, a man of prestige. A man that wore maybe a tuxedo suit to church. Hallelujah, but he wanted to be healed. He wanted God to do something for him. We come to church, we want God to do something, but we don't want to submit to what he wanted to do. So he what? He wanted to, all the leprosy eating his body up. And all of a sudden they told him, there's a man down here. He's anointed. You need to go let him pray for you. In other words, you need to go down there. So he goes down there. The word of God comes to tell him, say, if you want to be healed, if you want to get rid of this leprosy, I want you to humble yourself. I want you to go down to the Jordan, and I want you to dip seven times. You out of your mind? The Bible says he was angry. He was wroth. He was upset. He was not going. He was at a rage. All this water up here. And you want me to go down there? If you want it, you got to go get it. Hallelujah. If you want it, you got to go get it. In other words, finally when his servant looked at him, said, I'm going to tell you something, man. You can do what you want to do. I'm paraphrasing. But if I was in your condition, I don't care where I got to go. I'm going to be healed. I don't care what I got to do. I want to be healed.
Hallelujah. Once he got a revelation, he went down there, he dipped 7 times. When he come up out of the water, he was healed. That's the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. You said, but Brother Joel, that come from a prophet, but that same word that come from a prophet was the same word from an angry prophet that killed 42 children. Because his attitude got out of control. Ball headed. Boy, that's a bad word when you get ball headed. When I had my afro, I didn't care what you say. You call me ball headed, now I got a problem. I mean, one time I got my feelings hurt. I was in Chivac up in Alaska. Brother Joel, I was standing in a store. And all of a sudden, a little Eskimo girl walked up to me. She was looking at me and I was looking at her. I'm thinking, man, what's wrong with her? She just walking like this. She stopped right there at me. She said, I want to let you know you are fat. Sister Reagan, it hurt my feelings so bad. I said, I've never been called fat by Eskimo. Hallelujah, people. But I'm going to let you know here, my feeling was hurt. But attitude is what you got to deal with. Amen. Let me hit a few more of these here. You know my style. I'm in my helicopter tonight. Don't get nervous. People get attitude when they think you're going to preach long. Well, you can do your hand like that in praising God. We'll be one. All you got to do it like this. All you got to do it like this. All you got to do is praise God. Hallelujah, begin to look here. And you know, a lot of times when God cares to do something, it ain't that God has got his disapproval on us. It means that God got confidence in you. Hallelujah. Sometimes we want God to do things, but we just don't want. I want it to be life is easy. When you're up on the mountain, if I just can stay right there on the mountain, oh, wouldn't it be so beautiful? You're not in the millennium, friend. This ain't no time for you to build a house on the mountain and look for peace. I want to let you know where your peace is down in the valley. Oh, where you done, and the devil done everything he can to stop you from serving God, and you still can come to church, and you can say, praise God. He used this term right here. I'll get ready to get home in a few minutes. He says here on healing, he used it, and God provided way. He said, many people seek healing in the wrong motive. How many people God had healed in this church, they quit? I need it there. And they come to God because they was under a desperate need. But they quit after God took that spirit off of them. It's so easy to forget about what God done. So many people seek healing. So many people seek healing in the wrong attitude, so to speak. The wrong motive of coming, the first thing a Christian should do, or any person come to healing, should be sure their heart is pure and clean with God. If my heart is right, then my attitude gonna be right. Hallelujah, my heart is right, my attitude is right. But if I'm going to let you know, if your heart ain't right, your attitude ain't going to be right. Hallelujah, by the word, people here, you said, brother, people, trials come my way, tribulations come my way, it's coming everywhere, and it's getting worse. You know, man, I tell you what, man, it is, things have changed. It ain't like the good old 60s. It's gone. The good old 60s. I left my door open at night. The wind would blow through my house and cool the house. The good old 2017, you left your doors on open at night. The wind blow through to cool your house, but you just didn't know it because somebody shot you. It's just this kind of place we living in. We living where everybody got an attitude problem now. Job had a right to have an attitude. Job could have had an attitude. Lord, I'm going to tell you what. I've been paying my tithe. I've been doing this. And here I am suffering like this. I'm quitting church. But I'm going to let you know at the end of the day, Job said, it ain't nothing stopping me from God. Hallelujah. You done took all I got. Hallelujah. Everything I got dear to me, you done took it. But I want to say my last word. I'm going to let my last dying breath say, the Lord give it and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of God. But we're in an age attitude problem. See, we got to come to church with the right attitude. I'm going to let you know something here. If you come to church to be resentful, you're stopping God. You're hindering the move of God. A resentful spirit in a church will cause God not to reveal himself. Hallelujah, God, there's something wrong. Our aching is in here. And we got to get rid of that demon here. That demon was sent to church to try to hinder the move of God tonight. But I'm going to let you know, all the aching's got to be delivered. It's time to raise up. Hallelujah, I'm going to get to something in a minute here. So in a word, so we begin to look at these things here. I want you to notice here. When you meet people, not even Christian, with the right attitude, it so moves you. Sometimes you meet people, you say, God, that is the nicest person I ever met. And he didn't even go to this church. He didn't even, maybe was not even really in church at all. But he had such an attitude. Then Brother Man turned around on the second hand and say, it's people that you don't even like to be around. And one thing I don't like to be around people that always got the wowsy. Well, Brother Jewel, I think I'm going to fall off a cliff tomorrow and get killed. Just go to the cliff. I mean, I ain't going to push it, go. But I get tired of that kind of spirit. I mean, one time I was going with a guy here with him, the first time I ever flew on an airplane. First time. We get in this little prop plane. He going through a divorce. And we up in the air, we flying. And he looks over at me and said, Brother Jewel. I said, well, he said, I believe I'm going to crash and get killed today. Well, I'm with you. You do it when you're by yourself. I'm not going to get killed today. I'm landing. Attitude. But I'm going to say these things here. About a right attitude. I want you to notice, one time me and my wife, we was in a town way back in Missouri. When I say back in Missouri, I mean Missouri. It was so far back, I was sitting in a cornfield. Way out in the cornfield. And I was lost. And I knew that I shouldn't be in a cornfield in Missouri. One thing, I wasn't going to die from hungry because we had plenty of corn. But we were sitting out there in this cornfield and we were lost. And all of a sudden, a policeman turned in where I was. I said, oh boy, I have to explain this. He's going to want to check my trunk now, make sure I ain't stealing corn. And then, brother, he walked up to me. He says, he got out. You tense up a little bit. But I wasn't doing nothing wrong, you know. I walked out there, he walked out, and he looked at me. I looked at him, and he says, how you do, sir? I said, I'm doing fine. I said, sir, I'm lost. And he said, I can see that. No doubt he must have been in that neighborhood. He might be running that route right there. He said, I know you lost. But what touched me with this man? He said, sir, he said, I'm going to help you out of here. I didn't have a GPS then. It was no GPS. I had done drawn out a map the best I could. And somewhere I got on these roads up there ain't got no road like name. This is First Louisiana. This is two KKK or a GG. I don't know what that is. I don't know how I ended up in the alphabet of Pete. So I'm up there and I'm lost. Oh, I forgot. Sorry. We forgive you for living over there. But here we are. But anyway. He said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to lead you to the road. His attitude was so perfect. His attitude was so real that Brother Joel, I says, if I meet this man at the white throne of judgment. I don't care what God give me the wisdom and give me the revelation to remember this man. I'm saying, Lord, let him pass. Hallelujah. And you done unto the least of my little ones. You done it unto me. It's your attitude. It's something I never forgot, that man. But I met somebody else with a wrong attitude, and I never forgot them neither. Me and my wife was in New York, and I happened to be lost again. This time it was not GGPH Street, whatever it was. It was Ever Roar was going the same way. And I'm trying to figure out how to get over here without going and head onto the traffic. So I happened to look, brother, and all of a sudden, the friendly old male lady, she, you know, how they come through there waving their hand. You better get out of the South. It don't work that way. But here I was. So I told my wife, I said, let me go ask this lady. She's a male lady. She'll know how to get over there. So I pulled around. I said, I raised my window down. And I said, how you doing this morning? She looked at me like this. I know this one's going to be good. I said, do you know that street? If you read the sign, you can find it. Attitude is what we got to deal with. That's what we're dealing with tonight, attitude. She has such an attitude. Now, maybe God give me grace if I meet her at the white throne of judgment. I got to leave that up to God. People, we deal with attitude problem all the time. How many times you been to a restaurant? Somebody come up to get your meal. A waitress. She got an attitude. You better hurry up. Wait a minute, I'm paying you. You serving me, I ain't serving you. But what it is, Brother Brandon met those kind of people, and he gave them that much more. You said, Brother Jewel, had you done that? Y'all pray for me. Just pray for me. I'm still climbing to my mountain. Hallelujah. I want to say I hadn't passed that test yet. Hallelujah, Brother Brandon, he gave him that much more. He wanted to give her a right attitude. It might be something she going through. Lord, help my attitude. Hallelujah. So we went here, you know, I'm just here. Now we're dealing with Christians' attitudes. We get it, you know, just as Christians, we all deal with each other's attitudes. We come to church, somebody got something on there, somebody shunned you a little bit. The spirit of the devil gives you an attitude. Sometimes we have an attitude before we get you. We are not aware. Anyway, you say, what you mean attitude? An attitude. Every time I used to get, better quit. Well, I can deal with this, I hope so. But here we are. You get ready to go to church. You're already late, and the wife's standing in the mirror wondering how she looked. How does this look? I don't care. Just get in the car. All right. Come on. Hallelujah. Help me, Jesus. Attitude to start. And they, you know, don't be rushing me. Okay. Lord, let me leave it alone now. I got to go home. But here we are. Attitude. What did God give Moses? Yeah, Moses, being a leader. You know, Moses, you can imagine, Moses was a prince. When he sat down, he had somebody there to take his shoes off. If he needed a glass of that royal wine, he had a cup burial. Man, he didn't know how to do nothing for himself. God said, wait, when I get him on the backside of the desert to get through with him, he'll know how to lead sheep then. So God moved Moses from a position of a prince to a shepherd. So he can learn the nature of sheep. So he can learn how they move, how they act. Then Moses, you said, did that perfect him? No, that ain't the way God used to perfect him. That's where he started. Then he gave him an Ethiopian woman. out of everybody he could have gave him, he gave him an Ethiopian woman to marry. God, get ready to cut some character in this yoga. God said, I need a job for you to do, and right now you're too stuck up. But when she get through with you, you'll be ready. Hallelujah. You say, my wife, well, God trying to teach you something, son. My husband, why God put opposites together? So y'all can rub it out. And if you can hang it out, you're going to be in love more and more. Hallelujah. At about 37 or 38 years, me and my wife been together. Matter of fact, we've been together that long. We've been married for 35. Yes, sir. You say, how was it? Oh, you wouldn't believe it. It was just roses. Chocolates. Gifts laying on the table when she walked. Are you kidding? Quit reading that junk. Quit reading that junk. But what make a marriage strong is where you got the right attitude. We're going to wall it out. What it is today is everybody start looking at each other and saying, where is each other? Yes. Start an attitude. Yes, sir. Let me finish Moses up real quick. So God knew Moses needed this Ethiopian woman. He could have got him a good old Hebrew girl. Good old real rabbits. Know that, know her. But he gave Moses this black Ethiopian woman. He going to have to be taught some humility. Here go Moses walks in the house, mud all over his shoes. You better get them shoes off. Look at my foot. What's wrong with you? My woman heard it. What was God teaching him? He was going to meet God one day. When he heard God say, take off them shoes, Moses throw them right off. I heard that before. Hallelujah! God knows how to woman to give a man. The point of it is, we got to get a revelation. God gave me this woman to keep me praying. God gave me this man to keep me praying. Hallelujah. And I went to him when I was studying this. I just happened to realize here, people, we're going to make a rapture. First, we got to make a home. We got to get a home. The Bible says, fathers, do not provoke your child. You know what? It took me years. It took me years. I guess when my kids got around 12 years, because you thought, you know, I'm going to beat them to death and make them do it. What you're going to do, you're going to cause that child to have a complex. Now, I believe that we got to discipline our children now. You say, brother, what you mean? I mean discipline. I don't mean when little Junior walks in Walmart and he gets something in his mind, I want that. And you say, no. And little Junior falls on the floor. This is what you do. You give him some stimulation. You might can't beat it out of him, but it'll be subject. Next time that devil tells him, say, do that. But then what it is, God put us together to build a church, but we got to build it at home first. Now I want you to realize, a woman, I hear a lady say, I must do everything my husband say. I believe a woman ought to obey her husband if he's not a Christian, as long if it don't come against God's word. If he wants you to do something contrary to the word, you let God be first. Amen. You ain't subject to the law of the devil. You subject to Christ. Amen. But you women's got to have a good attitude too. You know, because you know, you say, I thought I married the perfect husband. Not if he lived. If he perfect, he ain't living. But the point of it is, that's what the Bible says. Let us bear one another the infirmities. Let the weak bear the infirmity. Let the strong bear the infirmity of the weak. You know what, my way? We together, church. If we would get every family here together, we wouldn't even need a prayer line. If everybody would fall in here and everything was in the unity, it ought to be not fighting here. Now, I'm not talking about, you say, Brother Joe, but I only been married 2 months. Well, you got a long way to go yet, buddy. You not even woke up yet. I know a woman was married to a man 5 years. 5 years. And she never knew he was fat. And one morning she walked in. She said, "You fat." He said, "I was that way when you married me." You got to wake up sometime, church. It's time to wake up and realize that we are children of God. And God put us with somebody to know how to rub shoulders with us, to get us on our knees. How do God don't put you with that person to fight and create an attitude in your home and separate you? We Christian church. If he defies the husband, love your wife. That's a hard thing for a man. He's the big cheese in the house. And you're always going to have some things you disagree with. Me and my, you know, we get along with him. You said, Brother Charlie, you know what Brother Charlie said? Brother Charlie said, "We ain't never had a fuss in our life." Brother Ron says, "What you call it when she running around the house with a broom?" Hallelujah. I can't say he never had a fuss. But I want to say what kept us together. It was not because we were disagreeing. It was because we got attitude with each other. But the point of it was, God was building our character so we learned how to love. Amen. The longer you've been with somebody, the more you fall in love. Hallelujah, husband, love your wife. I want my wife to submit to me. Hallelujah, she won't submit to you if you are a double-minded devil in the house. Come to church smiling. Go home. You better get out of my face. You're a hypocrite. You are dead. You ain't nothing but a devil with a religious attitude. Hallelujah, oh God. I thought these things were necessary tonight. We want healing. We want everything else, but we can't get along. Hallelujah. Most of the time, our getting along is not at the church. It's with each other. And you know, every time you're going to always have a little disagreement. You know, women's going to get the feeling hurt because they emotional. You know, she come out with something that she's going to put on, and you got to say something. This, you know, you might say something like this. "Honey, don't put that on word in the millennium." And you know, automatically she's going to get that. "What you trying to say?" "I just said nothing. I didn't mean no harm. I just said word in the millennium." But you know, it's just that timid. We all get our feelings hurt. I just, the other day I did something. I told y'all I brought a crossbow some time back and I got caught. And I tried something one more time. And the devil still let me get God. Me and my wife was in Walmart the other day. And I seen a pellet rifle. I told my wife I wasn't going to buy no more guns, rifles. But I didn't say I wasn't going to buy a pellet rifle. So I said in Walmart, I said to myself, "I'm buying me a pellet rifle. So I can shoot at, I can't shoot no more cats, I made a promise. But in the world... can't shoot no more cats here. If you got a cat, your cat will make it today." God had to change my attitude about that. But anyway, I brought this pellet rifle here. While she was in Walmart, she was making some pictures. And I took it right here. And while she was making pictures, I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to walk around a little bit." She said, "Okay, go on." You know, she wasn't thinking. So I went in there. I got that pellet rifle. I paid for it. I walked out to the car. I said, "My wife got no reason to look in the trunk." No reason. No reason to look in the trunk of my car. No reason. No reason at all. But the devil's the author of confusion. Yeah. I said, "The devil's the author of confusion." So I sneaked. I put it in my trunk. And I walked back in there. "Brother, you got to know what you're doing." And I walked back in there and I put it in my trunk. And when everything was looking good, she come out of the store. We was just talking. Everything was just lovely. Oh, one of the days, just a lovely day. Walking and talking and everything. I said, praise the Lord. I said, she ain't catching me this time. I said, there's no way that she going to catch me because she ain't got no reason to go to the trunk. Brother, just be honest. That's your wife. Be honest. They going to catch you anyway. All of a sudden, out of all the things she do, she goes straight to the trunk. I'm sitting there looking at her. Oh, I don't believe this happening. I wanted to get attitude, but I know if I started getting attitude, she's going to realize something wrong. I said, what you want in the trunk? I'm putting my pocketbook in the trunk. Why you got to go in the trunk? I'm sitting there thinking, boy, this is going to be a mess. She opened the trunk up, and I'm trying to stand halfway so she don't see the thing. Right. Trying to talk to her so she don't look down. Yeah. Right. If I would have been thinking, I said, did you see that burden? But anyway, she looked down. She said, what's this? I said, what's what? Oh, you think, brother, you know what happened? It wasn't good. It was not good. She said, I told you, get them pulled out. I made up my mind. If I'm going to buy it, I'm just going to tell her. Every time, it seems like it just don't work that way. In other words, in that way, like I said, God, hallelujah, God put us together so long that she knows when something is wrong. Hallelujah. In other words, that's what it is in this church right here. Hallelujah. You come to church tonight, God knows when things is wrong in the church. Hallelujah. God knows when something's wrong. I'm going to say this tonight as I get ready to wind down. People, I want to tell you what. If this church is going to make it, and if we're going to make a rapture, we got to start making it right here first. I got to change my attitude. Oh, you say, brother, we've been in the biggest fuss. We about ready to separate. Really? Had you looked at her? I remember I was up with Dave Morris one time. He probably might remember years ago. I've got up Brother Dave Morris, and it was a man and a woman sitting maybe distance apart, and there was a couple of kids in the middle. So, you know, I'm preaching. I don't know what's going on. All I'm just seeing is the guy sitting over here and his wife sitting over there. I think that looked a little strange. They sitting like this. Here go, and that was there, and the two kids there, and I'm thinking, this is a little strange. Why are you sitting like that? And I walked over to him. You know how I am. I'm always saying something. People be saying, I hope you don't get me. Here I am. And I walked over to him. I says, looked at this man, I said, who is that? He looked at me. He said, my wife. I said, your wife? I said, why are you sitting over there? I said, go over there and sit beside her. I seen when everybody started crying, I didn't know what was going on. I said, man, I don't know what's happening. He goes and sat beside her. I said, look at her in the eyes. He looked in the eyes. I said, now tell her you love her. I love you. Well, at this time, the whole church is crying. In other words, I didn't know they had filed for separation. Hallelujah. In other words, they started telling him, now you tell him you love him. And she's sitting there shaking. She said, I love you. Hallelujah. When he did that, her attitude changed. They are together today. That been almost 15 years ago. God is still doing the same thing. Oh, you say, Brother Joe, why my wife is upset with me? Do you ever tell her you love her? People, we got to realize here. You said, why are you preaching on husband and wife? Because I found out there was a problem starting in the church. Hallelujah. In a way, we wouldn't have husband and wife and children here. Wouldn't be no church. But the point of it is, we bring those spirits over into the church, and that would cause the church up and down because they're at home fighting like cats and dogs, and your life create them bad atmosphere. As musicians come this evening. Musicians come, I'm landing. But what your attitude been? You said, brother, it ain't no woman pushing me around. Ain't nobody pushing me around. I carried that attitude for years. I preach this, I say this here, and I still say it again. I said it everywhere, not just because I'm here. I say it when I'm other places. I carried an attitude with me of hate. Hate. My wife, we went to school together. I just can't tell you the stuff I did. She would tell you, She was in school. She didn't talk to me in school. When I say something to her, I didn't even know she could talk. She'd go. Actually, she did it. I walk up to Sister Carol. I say, hey, if you leave me alone, I'll do your work. Well, I was already flunking. It really didn't matter. But anyway, I carried that attitude for years. And I carried that attitude. I wanted to kill somebody. Because I wanted to do that, 1 degree from a man that almost died, because I wanted to kill somebody. Hate! But my attitude was so bad. Just because when I was a kid, I got molested and raped by an older person. I was 7 or 8 years old. But instead of me, I took a spirit on of hate. My fuse was that long. I couldn't get rid of it. It was just so out of control. But I needed help. And this thing was in the inward part of me. Nobody didn't know I was aching like this. Nobody had noticed. Hate. Just outrageous hate. I mean, and I said, Lord, I didn't want to be that way, but I was serving the Lord. I'd been delivered from drugs. I'd been delivered from needles. I'd been delivered from drinking, smoking, going out living in mall with women. All that stuff had left. But that one demon, that attitude, even when I come in the message, it was there. Even in a minister meeting one time, me and a preacher almost got in a fight because of my attitude. It was him. It was me out of order. He just tried to make a little statement. I took it the wrong way. An attitude. An attitude. And I didn't get rid of that spirit. But one day, me and my wife, around in the early 80s, like 83, 84, whenever that time, sometime during the 80s or right in the early 90s, me and my wife were going down the road one Sunday morning, going to a church. I'm preaching. An attitude. I'm going down the road, and I was listening to a tape called Scott, Human Being. Oh, okay. The Holy Spirit come in the car. My wife said, what's wrong with you? I said, the devil just left out. Hallelujah! From that time, I've been delivered, church. God sent a word to bring that demon out. Hallelujah! Oh, God, help me to change my attitude. As the musician began to play something softly. I told that story here before. Like that little girl that was in there. I said, Lord, let my attitude come to this point right here. A little girl sitting in an airport giving out apples. She was just giving out apples. She was blind. Only living she had. Did they have an apple for a nickel? An apple for a nickel. That's what she did. She went to the airport and sold apples for a nickel. But these three businessmen was in there. Airport. And they was missing their plane. And all of a sudden they come running through the airport. When they did, they didn't realize that little girl was there. They hit this buggy. And all her apples went all over the place. And this little blind girl started trying to find her apples, filling on the floor, trying to find the apples. Her little cart was knocked over. And one of those businessmen said, I can't take this. I got to go back and help this little girl. He goes back where she was. And he picked up every one of those apples and put them back in the cart. He set the cart up and he set that chair up for the little girl. And he reaches in his pocket and he gives his little girl $20. He said, little girl, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we done this. Take this. He got ready to leave. And when he got ready to leave, the little girl started calling him. Said, sir, would you please come here? And the man turned around and he walked back where she was. And she grabbed him by the tie. She pulled him up so close to him and she asked this question, sir, is you Jesus? Oh God. Hallelujah! And sir, is you Jesus? That's what I want to hear in my attitude. I'm going to live such a life that they're going to say, Brother Jewel, is you Jesus? Hallelujah. That's what Christ said now. He's here right now. He's here right now. We fight depression. We all go through the times we get down in the valley. But you don't have to stay that way. Hallelujah. You say, Brother Jewel, you say, I just want to be set free. I wanted to be set free. And God sent a message by, not a message by Scott, human being. I told this testimony everywhere, not just because I'm here. Scott, human being. I let go of it. And I've been free ever since. And if you're not free tonight, this is your chance. You said, but brother, you just don't know what I've been. I don't care what you've been through. That's what's wrong with people today. I've been through it too. How you think I feel? A young kid getting took advantage of. And I couldn't do nothing about it. How you thought I feel? All I done from it, it took a hatred spirit that was sending me to hell. And God set me free. Hallelujah. They play a song for us. He knows my name. May God bless you this evening. You say, Brother Joe, why every time you come, we talk about deliverance? Because we fighting devils. I fight it every day. People, I'm going to tell you what. You say, do you still get people? We all going to rub shoulders sometime. And when Brother Brandon and Brother Peregrine tell him, when they took his tent that time, and Brother Peregrine says, Brother Brandon was going to back up their meeting. And Perry looked at Brother, he said, Brother Brandon, what's wrong with you? And Brother Brandon turned around and looked at Brother Perry. He said, Perry, I'm surprised at you. Goodness. Oh, God, help me. Sister, be that little lady. When her husband come in there drunk and throw it and say, I'm going to show you a real Christian. He throwed everything on the floor. Hallelujah. In other words, start doing this and throwing the stuff in the floor to prove to his friend that my wife is a Christian. She started saying, Jesus brought this cross alone. Be that kind of sister. Dude. Hallelujah. He knows my name tonight. May God bless you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I have a father. Hallelujah.
He knows my name.
He knows my name here tonight.
Every thought.
He knows my name tonight.
He sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call.
He knows your name tonight.
He knows my name.
Any husband and wife that's in here that's fighting tonight, you need to drop it tonight.
He knows my every thought.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
He sees each tear that falls.
Jesus.
He knows my heart.
Lord Jesus for that, don't you? That right attitude will heal that arm. Would you believe that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. The right attitude here today, Lord. By His stripes, my attitude is not looking at pain. My attitude is
my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls, and He hears me when I call. Oh, He knows my
here. Hallelujah. He is here. awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, oh mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. Awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, oh mighty God. Awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many can say he's holy? He's holy. You love him with all your heart. Oh my. Brother David Seidel is going to be leaving tomorrow for Johannesburg, South Africa. Got several meetings there starting this weekend. We want to just offer prayer for him tonight before he goes. God will just go before him and give him safe flights, journey. Bless him. The services there anointed him. He'll be doing all the preaching, two services a day for 4 or 5 days, Brother David, something like that. So we just want to ask God's strength to our brother. God will bring him back home safely to us and to his family.
Just as God can't record him. Hallelujah. How did God skin him? Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, press Acts 2:38. Lord, thank you, Lord, keep to you, Lord. Let the word God use him, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, right now, Lord. Right now, Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God, right now, Jesus Christ, Lord. Right now, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. The last time that I read the General Commission, it still said the same thing.
Amen.
That it said 2,000 years ago, and that was, go ye therefore and preach. And preach. And if they're going to preach, somebody's on their part, your part, supposed to say, praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for praying for us while we were gone. I'm sure Brother Louis, someone probably announced it. My niece's husband down in Kentucky, she found him dead on Thursday morning. He was the one that had been shot a few years ago in the head, and they thought he was going to die and wasn't going to live. And the Lord spared his life. And apparently he had a heart attack sometime in the morning. Certainly appreciate your prayers. Very difficult thing for them. Left behind a wife. He was 42 years old. And a wife and 3 children. So very, very difficult situation. Most important thing is for us to be ready. For we don't know. We do not know. We may go in our sleep. Easy way to go. But whether you go in your sleep or whether you're alive or an automobile accident, the most important thing is being ready to meet God. Wasn't that wonderful tonight? How many wants the right attitude? Amen. Praise the Lord. It's not always easy to keep it, friends. Oh, there's so much all around us every day of our lives to constantly, constantly deal with our attitude. But by God's grace, we are more than conquerors. Amen. God bless you. Let's come back this weekend expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. I believe he's going to. I believe he's His word is so precious. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for the service tonight, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for speaking to our hearts once again. We're so grateful that you're mindful of us, Lord, that if we get out of line and we need to be quickened back into that, that you send somebody that'll come by, Lord, that'll just speak to us. We thank you. We thank you not only for speakers, but we thank you for hearers, for people who desire to do what they've heard and apply it to their lives. That's our intention tonight. We're not going to just leave and say, boy, that was really good. I appreciated it. I needed it. But we're going to become it. Lord, if there's anything about my attitude, look at me, Father. I beg you. Look at me. Every avenue of my life, any part about me, help me, Lord, that my attitude is right towards you, toward my fellow man, to those who don't like me, to those who haven't treated me well, whatever more. Lord, that I keep the right attitude. Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your grace and strength. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back this weekend. If it be pleasing to you, we ask in Jesus' name. And the saint said,
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. You can wash your hands later with alcohol. Say, God bless you. It's been good to be in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember all those that are sick, friends. I believe we need a deliverance. So many folks have got the flu and this and that and the other. Remember those that are sick, would you? Amen. God bless you. I love you in the Lord. And the church said, amen. Come on and help me now. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. 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 Do you believe what you heard? Amen. You're going to live it. Is it going to change you? Amen. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.